The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome, I'm Tammy Grime. I wish I had known the woman of today's story. She was Polish, married to a Frenchman. They were both great scientists. Recognition and fame rewarded her years of struggle, but at one time she thought her life was worthless and wrote in her diary, "My Pierre, I no longer love the sun or the flowers. The sight of them makes me suffer. I feel better on dark days, like the day of your death."
What have I done? Father, please tell me everything. You must.
They caught Josef in Krakow.
Oh.
Someone there, some traitor, denounced him.
Is he in prison?
This morning, they hanged him.
No. Oh, no, no. How can you go on living here in Poland? I can't. I can't stand this anymore.
Mystery drama, Pursuit of a Dream, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by G. Frederick Lewis and stars Carol Tytel. It is sponsored in part by Cat's Paw, Heels and Soles. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, Pat Summerall. Before you clean up the outside of your home and seal up the inside to prepare for winter, pick up True Value Hardware Store's Fall Shopper Circular for values on the items you'll need. Like rakes and trash bags for end-of-season yard work. Indoors, improve heating efficiency with quality caulks and weather stripping. And you'll find you can lower your thermostat and still stay comfortable when you supplement home heating with portable electric and quartz heaters. From participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers, where you'll find values in every department.
Pause for a moment and listen to your shoes. They may need to be cat's pawed.
Hey, stop! What do you think you're doing? We just need heels and soles.
How could you throw us out in the street when we've been so good to you and your feet?
New shoe prices out of sight. Look for the sign of the cat and make your tried and true shoes as good as new shoes. With Cat's Paw, Heels and Soles.
Take us to the shop, come on and get a cat's paw.
It's here, Chicagoland. It's Jewel's Giant Plant Sale with savings up to 50%. From frilly ferns to magnificent mums, Jewel has the perfect plant for you at the perfect price. Need something perky to dress up a dreary corner? Looking for an extra special gift idea? Check out the Garden of Greenery at Jewel's Giant Plant Sale. You'll save 30, 40, up to 50% on African violets and rubber trees, hanging spider plants, and pretty piggybacks. It's a green bug delight. Only through Wednesday at Jewel. And here's another way for you to save. A Jewel discount on family fun at Great America. Through October 11th, buy a regular ticket for a weekend visit to Great America and save $3 off the regular price. But remember, it's only at Jewel.
He's been a friend of the family for 50 years. Your friend of the family. Friend of the family. Your friend of the family. Jewel.
This word just in, New York's liberal Lieutenant Governor Mario Cuomo tonight upset flamboyant New York City Mayor Edward Koch in the bitterly fought battle for the Democratic nomination for governor. Cuomo will face Republican drugstore millionaire Louis Lieberman in November.
This is one of the greatest stories of detection of all time. Yet there was no crime. Two detectives, man and wife, made a discovery that changed the face of science and medicine and paid for that discovery with their own lives. The next voice you will hear is that of an actress playing the part of Marie Curie. They say when you are dying, your entire life passes before you. They say I was always a rebel. To be born a Pole, living under the whip of Russia, makes rebellion part of one's nature. I was born Mania Sklodowska. It would be some years before I became Marie Curie.
Tanya.
Joseph, you made me jump. I'm walking along the street. I didn't see anyone, and suddenly you.
Shh.
Where did you come from?
Follow me down these steps to the cellar door.
What, jumping up at me in the street like that? You almost scared me to death.
I was waiting for you, my nephew. This is important. Important to Poland. Shh. I'm going to give a signal on the door. You see, I give three knocks. Then inside, they signal back to me to make sure I'm not a government agent. And now I answer with one knock. Jan, this is Manya Skladowska. We were in school together.
How do you do?
I will take Manya inside so we can discuss our problem. Keep guarding the door, Jan.
Yusuf, how long am I going to be here? If it's past curfew, how am I going to get home?
It won't take long. Just a few minutes. You'll be home safe. There. How do you like this? See? We've made a meeting place behind the boiler of this building. Watch your step.
Oh.
Careful.
Oh.
That's ammunition. But here's an empty box. You sit. I'll sit over here.
Is this one of the secret underground meeting places?
Yes. Welcome.
But how can you keep it a secret, Joseph? Isn't there a superintendent who comes to put coal into the boilers?
He's my father. Now, this is my problem. They are making me a messenger between those of us who feel as we do.
Oh, to be free from the Russians.
But I have no passport, and you have. My father was always suspect, so they held up all the control cards for all my family. We never got them.
Well, you can't use my passport, Joseph. It has my name.
You have it with you?
Well, I always carry it.
May I see it?
Yeah.
Let me see what's written in it.
Well, I tell you, it has my name.
No, it does not have your name. It doesn't say the bearer is Manya Skladowska. It says only M. Skladowska. Understand?
M, that's not you.
Oh, no, it could be. It could be Miguel and Marion. Manya, I need it. I have to make a trip from Warsaw to Krakow. The Russians will stop me at the gates of Krakow, and with no identification, I'll be put to forced labor.
What are you going for?
Well, it's best you don't.
No, I want to know. I want to be part of the revolutionary movement.
The less you know, the better it is for you. Manya, I will only need this passport for 1 month. In that time, I will have done all that I have been told to do.
You won't tell me any more.
Well, I am carrying things that are dangerous.
Well, even with a passport, don't they search you?
No. I'll put on an innocent face. I'm a student at the university, and I'm going home to see my mother, who is ill.
You want my passport, but you can't trust me enough to tell me everything.
It's not only you who would be in danger, but your father and your mother and your two sisters.
Joseph, I'm going home now. I'm sorry, but my passport belongs to me, and I don't lend it to anyone without knowing the reason. If you change your mind and decide I can be trusted, you come to my house tomorrow, Saturday. Don't come before the afternoon. In the morning, I take walks with my father. Father, I've always wanted to ask you, why is it you speak certain things at home, and then when we walk in the park as we are now, you talk of other things?
In the park, Manya, only the birds can hear.
But at home, why must we be careful at home?
Your mother, bless her, used to say, beware, the walls have Russian ears. Bless her memory.
You still miss her, don't you, Father?
Always, at this time of the year.
Hmm.
You remember how we all walked in the park together?
I was so small. What did she die of?
A terrible disease of the skin for which there is no cure. When it happens, it is the end, the terminal point.
Father, do you think it's the duty of every Pole to fight against the Russians who enslave us?
Each one in his own way, yes. I try in my classes when I teach to instill our national feeling. My gun is a piece of chalk on the blackboard. My ammunition is the truth. Perhaps when you are a little older, you will also fight for Poland by teaching. How you fight, you must decide for yourself.
That's true. I have to decide for myself.
Who else knows what your conscience is telling you? No one better than you. It is getting late. We must start back. By the way, how is your friend, Joseph?
What made you think of him all of a sudden?
Well, he used to come around to the house. I have not seen him lately.
Well, I guess he's busy.
You need not hide what he is doing from me. He is a good boy.
Do you know what he's doing?
In his way, he is being a patriot also. We must walk a little faster. Your sisters will be worried.
Manya, come in quickly.
I expected you at my house this afternoon.
Did you? I didn't expect to go there.
I told you if you changed your mind and decided to take me into your confidence, I'd be home and I'd give you my passport. Lend it to you. Joseph, I've thought about it. You can have my passport.
Oh, that's very good. Thank you, Manya. What made you change your mind?
You are doing something for Poland, and I have no right not to help. When you want to tell me what you do, you will.
Manya, it's death, and I can't share that knowledge with anyone.
Death?
I am to carry small bombs in my clothes, and when I get to Krakow, I will be told at whom to throw them.
But you could be killed.
Yeah, so can they. It's the only language they understand. Death.
Here, take it. My passport. May the good Lord watch over you.
Manya, thank you. I shall guard this with my life. Come to think of it, it is my life.
I want to do more than lend my passport. I want to be in the front line like you. My father says I should become a teacher, but how can I? Where in Warsaw can I obtain any higher education? The university is closed to women. It's hopeless. But my hands are tied.
Manya, don't accept it. Don't accept life as they want you to. Don't give up. They want us always to be their property.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, since the 1600s. There is strength here now. We will win in the end. Oh, you will see.
Jan! Jan, is that you? Jan! Jan, where are you going? Come back!
Manya, come in off the street. Come inside.
Father, that young man, I thought he came out of our house.
Yes, he did.
I know him.
So do I, my child. Let me close the door.
Why did he run away when I called to him?
Manya, in these times, you do not call out someone's name in the street. Who knows who may be watching the house?
Well, of course. How stupid of me.
Manya, you remember a week ago we talked about people doing what they can for Poland?
You found out. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. I hope I haven't gotten us into any trouble.
Are we in trouble?
Well, you see, I loaned Joseph my passport so he could get to Krakow.
Ah, so. No, they have not traced it to us yet.
Has something happened to Joseph?
I had no idea you were part of it. It was Jan who was just here and told me.
Told you? What? What have I done? Please, don't tell me in little pieces, Father. Tell me everything.
That cut. Joseph in Krakow.
Oh, no.
Someone there, some traitor, denounced him.
Is he in prison?
This morning they hanged him.
Oh, Father.
Little one, he did what he had to do. That is all any of us can do.
Father, how can you go on living here?
It's my homeland, it is my country.
I can't stand it anymore.
Oh, my dear Manya, even if I had a choice, I am too old now to begin all over again.
I've decided. I am going to find work and save enough and go to Paris and study. The Sorbonne, if they'll take me, I can be a governess, a teacher. I must do something, Father. I just can't sit here and wait while my friends are being killed. There's more. There's got to be more I can do with my life.
Yes, Paris is a good idea. You could get a good education at the Sorbonne.
You really mean that, don't you? But what will you do, Father?
Do not worry. Set your eyes on the stars. I will do all I can to help you pay for what you need.
Oh, no. No, I'm being selfish. There's no one here to take care of you.
Let me worry about myself. First, we shall get you a good paying work as a governess. After all, someday you will marry and have children of your own. You might as well start practicing taking care of other people's. If you go to live in France, you might even marry a Frenchman.
Me? Marry a Frenchman? Never. Remain in Paris, leave you, abandon Poland? Never. Father, I promise you. Those kinds of promises are made to be broken. One has no idea what time and fate can do to one's little schemes. Besides, that summer, I still had no idea what I wished to do with my life. All I knew was I had to learn somewhere. There was so much to know, and I knew so very little. It is quite true. Marie Curie started out as many youngsters, wanting to know everything and yet not knowing how to start or where. What a different Marie Curie it is. The one scientists and scholars speak about. The woman of discoveries, honored by medals, decorations, and prizes. Yet underneath, Marie was always that little Polish girl with a gift for the pursuit of the unknown. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
It was just a habit I got into. Whenever I laughed, I kind of covered my mouth with my hand like this, you know? One day, it dawned on me that I was doing this because I was embarrassed by my teeth. They were really yellow from smoking.
Topol Smoker's Tooth Polish, a special combination of polishing agents and a rich foaming cleaner, formulated to help remove ugly yellow tobacco stains. Topol is gentle enough to be used instead of regular toothpaste.
My teeth are nice and bright again.
Topol, mint flavor in the blue package, fluoride in the red.
Thanks, waiter. I've had enough. How can you refuse such great food?
To stay thin.
Wish I could lose weight.
And go on a diet.
With Diet Pill?
Something different. The AIDS Diet Plan. AIDS, appetite suppressant candy cubes.
Both AIDS cubes and diet pills help curb hunger, but AIDS do more. Help satisfy your need to taste, chew, and enjoy.
Say when.
When?
So soon?
You're eating like a bird.
Thanks to AIDS.
AIDS help curb hunger and satisfy taste. Use only as directed.
Excuse me, I own that shoe store across the street.
Uh-huh.
Want to buy it?
Well,
I'll be honest. I have great shoes, but no customers, so I'm ready to sell the whole thing at any price, you name it.
$12.
Sold.
Ooh.
Well, now that you own a shoe store, what'll you do with it?
Well, advertise.
Well, I tried. A lot of newspaper ads, then TV and magazine.
I'll probably go radio.
Radio?
Yeah, according to the latest studies, everyday radio reaches more people than newspaper, TV, or magazine.
How did you
What's
know?
More radio targets customers? I'll match up the right stations for my dressier lines and different stations for young casual. Since radio costs a lot less than newspapers or TV, I'll get good efficiency.
Listen, I'd like to buy my store back from you.
Well,
at a fair profit.
Okay.
How much do you want?
$156,000.
That's a pretty fair profit.
Take or leave it.
I'll take it.
Radio. It costs less, targets your best customers, and it sells. Radio. Red hot because it works. For more facts on radio, call this station of the Radio Advertising Bureau. They brought you this message.
Story of a remarkable woman who started life like so many of us, wondering which path we would follow. Marie Curie, however, found within herself a force that drove her to one of the greatest medical and scientific discoveries of all time. In Act One, we knew her as Magna. Now in Act Two, she lives in Paris and studies at the Sorbonne. Magna has become Marie, and she is remembering those early days.
Yes, I do remember. It is all so bright in memory because I am now on the edge of the everlasting. Is that why precious moments of my life flash before me as clear as yesterday? Do you hear me, Pierre? I hear you.
Your words, every one, from the day I was first invited to meet you. You, a distinguished scientist, and me, a mere student.
I have invited you to meet this young lady from Warsaw. Remember, Pierre, I mentioned her to you?
Ah, so you are not French, mademoiselle.
Marie is Polish, from Warsaw, and is doing brilliantly at the Sorbonne.
Well, I'm very happy to meet you, Professor Curie. I've read a great deal about your most distinguished career as a physicist.
Oh, mademoiselle, I am not most distinguished. In fact, I am not so sure I am even distinguished.
Pierre, please allow Marie to tell you why she is here.
Oh, but of course, please, 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 why are you here?
Well, to meet you, Professor.
Why me?
Because she has a problem. Marie, speak up.
A problem?
Yes. You see, Pierre, Marie has been ordered to make a study of the various magnetic properties of steel, and she needs workplace for her experiments. I needn't tell you how cramped they are for space.
Oh, I see. Space?
Yes. Since this is your field, I'm sure you understand, Pierre. Analyzing minerals and group samples requires heavy equipment, which the laboratory where Marie works cannot accommodate.
And which one is that?
The Lippmann.
Ah, no, 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 it could not.
So it occurred to me perhaps you had a workroom that was available.
Well, let me think about it.
Robert, you're putting Professor Curie in an awkward position. I understand you're concentrating on crystallography research now, Professor.
Ah, crystallography. You know about that, mademoiselle?
Well, not enough, not nearly enough.
The science of the future. A young science. About 200 years ago, a Dane discovered that although quartz crystals may appear different from one another, the angles between the corresponding faces are always the same.
Although we two were different, Pierre and I, the angles between our faces also became the same. Dear Pierre, how your face brightened when you started telling me of your research and teaching. It took me a year to decide that your light was bright enough for both our lives. Our marriage, our honeymoon bicycling through France, and then...
A baby. A child. You are going to have a child.
I won't let it interfere with our work. I promise
you. Oh, my darling, how can you talk like that? There are miracles in science, yes, but none like the miracle of birth. I want that to interfere with everything.
What a foolish promise not to let the coming baby interfere with my investigation into the magnetic properties of steel. All through my pregnancy, I kept telling myself, I'm not the only mother to be who has suffered from dizziness, but just the same.
Marie, Marie, are you all right?
Marie, my darling. Oh, my Lord, she has fainted. Marie, Marie, open your eyes.
Oh, Pierre. Oh, are you home from school early?
The heat went out. I had to close. It is all right. Everything is all right. Here, hold on to me. I'm going to carry you to the couch.
Oh, Pierre, we don't have a couch in the laboratory, only that chair.
Oh, that is right. There is no couch. You fainted, you know. I found you on the floor.
Oh, Pierre, just put me into the chair and I'll be all right.
Marie, what happened?
Oh, nothing, darling, really nothing.
How can you say? How can you say nothing? I come in. There is a retort broken on the floor. You are lying on the floor. Here, drink this.
Thank you.
I want to understand what made you faint.
Oh, motherhood, that's all. Nature asserting itself over scientific investigation. I'm really very ashamed.
You want another glass?
No. Every single morning from the time I arrive here in the laboratory, I just don't seem to be able to stand up at the table to do my work. I get weaker and weaker, just continual dizziness.
But you never said anything to me.
Oh, Pierre, you have your work, I have mine.
Not another word. No research is that important. I am going to call Dr. Aurore, and as soon as you feel up to it, I will get a carriage and take you home. It is not right for you to feel dizzy from morning till night.
I think it is. It's normal. It's our baby.
Our baby? It is?
Oh, I'm sure. That's what depresses me so. I want to have the baby and still go on with my work.
The baby. All these months you felt miserable and you came to the laboratory, took care of me, cooked, sewed, did the housework.
Hundreds of thousands of mothers do it.
Yes, but they are not scientists.
But why should we few be excluded? I know it will be such a joy when the baby is born. I shall forget all about how miserable I used to feel. But only one more month, and then maybe a boy. If he is, I shall call him Pierre.
And if she is a girl?
Irene. That was my mother's favorite name.
Antoine, forgive me for bursting in on you in your laboratory, but a best friend is entitled to the best news first.
Oh, you have won the Nobel Prize.
Better news than that. The young lady arrived in the world early this morning. My daughter.
Oh, congratulations, mon vieux. What name did you give the little scientist?
Irene.
Ah, the Greek goddess of peace.
Yes, she is a little goddess.
And how is Marie?
Thankful and relieved and happy and wondering how she can nurse the baby while conducting her experiment.
Now that the earth-shaking news is out, let me give you a small tremor. You know my experiments with uranium salts? I've discovered that at ordinary temperatures, uranium produces an invisible radiation.
You mean like Röntgen's X-rays?
Somewhat. But by itself, no electricity.
What proof do you have?
I want to have photographic proof.
Uh-huh.
But first I must be sure this radiation isn't due to stored sunlight. After all, left in the elements, exposed to the sun, you know.
Keep the compound for a time in a darkened room.
That's what I'm doing.
Total darkness for 3 months ought to be a good measure. 90 days should do it.
90 days, a good thought. Then I'll test it.
Now, if you will forgive me, Antoine, I must get back to Marie. Congratulations. I am sure you are on the brink of something. 90 days.
Whatever science can prove in that time is a small accomplishment compared to Marie's in 9 months.
Marie, look at this package from Antoine. It came this morning. A photographic plate.
Oh? Well, what's it a picture of?
It is a picture of a compound of uranium. He placed it on this plate, and of its own accord, it photographed itself, as it were.
Well, I wonder how it did that.
That's what Antoine would love to know.
I thought Antoine was hoping to detect fluorescent rays by subjecting metals to light.
Well, that is his main research. This happened as a byproduct. He placed uranium salts on this plate in complete darkness.
It's as clear an outline of the mass as you could hope to see. I would say that in that uranium is a source of energy that releases rays that affect the plate. Or is it the uranium itself? Oh, Pierre, wouldn't you like to find out?
You are not only a scientist, but a mind reader.
Is anyone else making a study of these rays?
Not here in France or in Europe.
No one?
The only two who have done work on rays are Röntgen on X-rays and Antoine on fluorescence.
Shall we?
We must.
I can't believe in such luck, Pierre, to work on a problem no one even knows exists.
My dear scientific partner, we are not only going to work on the problem.
We are not?
No, we are going to solve it.
Oh, we'll need a great deal of space, much more than we have now.
I'll see what I can find, Marie. Do not worry.
I didn't worry, but I should have. The best the School of Physics could find for us was a ground floor closet used to store wood and old machinery. It was wintertime, no heat, no electricity. But I started my hunt for the new energy in that storeroom. Pierre taught and studied for his doctorate. I measured and measured and measured all December and January. And then, in February...
Marie, are you all right?
No, I couldn't be in better health, Pierre. Or warmer. Here, darling. Read today's entry in my notebook. That should tell you.
February 6, 1898. Temperature 6 degrees? What temperature is that?
Here. Right here. In this closet. Oh, you don't feel the cold, do you?
Marie, I am worried about your health. We should wait for warmer weather.
No, I'm much more worried about our electrometer. It's much more sensitive to cold and humidity than I am. Oh, how did your classes go today?
Well, I lectured, they listened, but whether they learned...
Pierre, I want you to meet someone.
Yes, who?
I would like to introduce you to the first feminine scientific detective, Madame Marie Curie.
Enchantée, madame. I know your husband. Lucky man that he is. Now, what is this detective?
The walls have ears.
They have?
Yes. My dear mother always said so. Pierre, listen. I am certain that uranium has a property of radiation unlike anything observed before. It's an atomic condition.
Atomic?
And not only do I find it in uranium, but in thorium as well. And so...
It may exist in others.
Yes.
Who is to say those two are the only elements capable of such radiation?
Ergo, Detective Curie would like to examine all known chemical elements.
Can you arrange that for me, Pierre? Please?
Samples of all minerals and salts, eh? I will do my best. It is the least the School of Physics can do for me.
For their most brilliant professor.
I will tell them that when next I ask for a raise in salary.
Oh.
Bless you, my dear. And who knows? Your research may point the way to a ray that will cure the common sneezing cold.
A radioactive cure for the common cold escaped me. Oh, not that I was looking for it. But what I did find was a much more powerful radioactive substance than that in uranium and thorium, hiding in so many of the known elements. What was it? I had to know. I would do nothing else but track and trace and detect. Then suddenly, everything changed. A telegram from my father.
When did you receive it, Marie?
It was here at home this evening when I came back from the laboratory. Hand me those heavy stockings, Pierre.
We will take the first train to Warsaw.
Pierre, look at the date it was sent. 3 days ago. 3 whole days. Why was it only just delivered? That's terrible.
Hey, let me read it. Please come visit your old father. Stop. Do not wait.
Don't wait, he says. I pray to heaven he doesn't have what mother had.
Now, that is enough talking. Where is my bag?
Oh, you can't go, Pierre. You're taking your oral examination for your doctorate this evening. Have you forgotten? I'll be finished packing in 5 minutes. Oh, I shall miss you,
well,
darling.
Perhaps the worst is over. And whatever made your father send the telegram is all settled.
I don't know. I just want to be sure I get back to Warsaw in time.
Marie Curie, newly married, a mother now, answers a daughter's call. Her father needs her. These family ties take precedence over any problem and duty. After all, were it not for her father, it is entirely possible that Marie Curie's scientist would still be Mania Sladowska, living in Warsaw. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
Sally Struthers is Gloria.
Oh, Archie Bunker's little girl.
Well, CBS TV's announced that Gloria has a show of her own.
Oh, then things are swinging and the birds are singing and everything's going to be okay.
Okay. Gloria and her son Joey are out there trying to make it on their own.
Uh-huh.
It's really a funny show.
Uh-huh.
Sally Struthers is Gloria.
I know it. We'll do very well.
So you were pleased with the CBS announcement?
What was their announcement?
Be sure to watch Gloria Sunday at 8:30, 7:30 Central and Mountain on CBS TV.
After Archie Bunker's place.
What do doctors recommend to avoid constipation? These days, doctors stress the importance of fiber in the diet, food fiber that helps the system regulate itself naturally. Metamucil is the laxative made from natural fiber, no chemical stimulants. So for occasional constipation, doctors recommend Metamucil more often than any other laxative. Try Metamucil powder or pre-measured packets of Metamucil instant mix, regular or orange flavor. Read label and follow directions.
This is News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago. Get the best of both worlds from Delta Airlines. Discount fares to fit your busy budget. Convenient flights to fit your busy schedule. From Chicago, Delta has 6 nonstop today to Texas and New Orleans. To Dallas-Fort Worth, Delta nonstops leave every morning just before 10, every evening at 5:55. To Houston, it's midday and afternoon nonstops. What's more, Delta has a through flight to Austin, good connections to San Antonio and Lubbock. And Delta's nonstop flights to New Orleans leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 7:35 in the evening. When it comes to fares, every day is discount day on Delta. Delta saves you money with a variety of big discounts to cities throughout the South and Southwest. See your friendly travel agent for requirements. Delta is ready when you are from Chicago with convenient nonstops and low fares to Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, New Orleans, and many other cities. Get the best of both worlds from Delta Airlines.
In April 1898, Marie Curie's miracle discovery was announced to the Academy of Science. The presence of a new element containing powerful radioactivity. Her father regained his health, learning with the world that the substance was called radium. But radium was yet to be isolated, yet to be seen. And far off in the future, it was yet to be used as a cure for certain types of cancer. Marie Curie reminisces.
It was really Pierre who put his finger on the problems of how to find, measure, and catalog radium. I think he realized far more than I did the enormous task before us. He and Antoine Becquerel and I puzzled over the future.
To begin with, Marie, you are going against every fundamental theory scientists have held for centuries.
Of course, Pierre, that may be a good thing.
Antoine, what are the roadblocks?
Oh, science itself. The Academy will have to see this radium and touch it. You two must test it with acids, bottle it, weigh it.
It's atomic weight. We will have to tackle that first.
Oh, I can hear them at the Academy. No atomic weight, no radium. When we see it, we'll believe it.
I wonder what it'll be like, what it will look like.
I don't know, my dear. I should like it to have a beautiful color.
A new element of a beautiful color.
The first thing, then, is to find a large amount of pitch blend.
Well, there must be tons of it lying about. Where do they dump it after the uranium has been extracted?
We shall climb on our bicycles, Marie and I, and hunt for it.
Well, we have some idea where the mines are. So we show up in person and we say, do you have any pitch blend to dispose of? It's worthless to you. We'll get rid of it for you.
Ooh, traveling by bicycle?
We always do. The same bicycles that take us home every day took us on our honeymoon.
Antoine, would you like to come with us?
Oh, at my age, I haven't ridden a bicycle in 50 years.
Oh, I'm sure it'll all come back to you in no time. It's never too late.
Marie, for me it is too late. I am better off in my laboratory. But I wish you two a happy and successful hunting trip.
Antoine! Antoine, come out! We are back!
Pierre! Marie!
We thought we would stop first at your house before going on home.
Oh, we made 50 kilometers today, but we promised ourselves Paris by nightfall or else.
Oh, but you have only been gone a fortnight.
We did not have to go that far.
Success?
Tons of it.
Oh, don't you want to come in and tell me about it?
Have a glass of wine? No. We must go home. We both need a bath and a bed. But Antoine, we will give you all the news tomorrow.
Been to Austria, to a mine near St. Joachimsthal. Just at the time, an official from the Austrian Academy of Science was there. He knew of our work. He agreed to have a ton of it sent to us. But where to work? They gave us a large shed that used to be used to dissect corpses. It was there, under Rue Le Monde, our dissection of the unknown began.
Marie, aren't you dressed yet? It may be here any moment.
I'm almost ready, Pierre. Oh, what about your classes, dear? Aren't you going this morning?
I told them either postpone today's physics class or cancel altogether. I said I had a whole ton of pitch blend arriving from Austria, and I would not miss that moment even if they took my doctorate from me.
You told them that.
The fool faculty had said, pitch blend, a ton of it. You must be joking, Pierre. I said to him, Monsieur Dubois, you just wait. Someday, the joke may be on you. That's it. That's the truck. It is here. Come. Don't trip, Marie, as you run downstairs.
Oh, don't push me. Ladies first. Oh, I'm so excited. I don't know what to say.
Oh, you will manage. You will manage. And how are we going to carry a ton of it into the shed? I should have hired one of my students to help.
It's here. It's here. Oh, how beautiful.
This is the place to deliver the pitch blend. One ton of pitch blend, right?
Yes. This is the place. We will have to carry it around to the back, to the shed. I will give you a hand unloading it.
Oh, please. Will you pull back the cover? I want to see it for myself.
Certainly, madame.
Yeah, I will help you with it.
I can't bear the suspense. Imagine a ton of it. Oh, look, it's not loose at all.
Well, thank heavens. Can you picture us shoveling a ton of pitch blend into the shed?
It's all in sacks.
I'll lift one down for you.
Marie, we are going to be working with this for years.
Oh, I have a knife right here. Here, let me cut the strings.
Oh, surely you can wait till all the sacks have been brought inside.
No, I want to touch it now. Feel it. Oh, look at it. Oh, just.
you beautiful element. You are the most beautiful element I have ever seen in my life.
To treat kilo by kilo, ton after ton, to be a wife, a mother, a chemist, a physicist, engineer and laborer all at the same time. I must have been out of my head to attempt it, for it's a slow, slow process. Standing in the icy courtyard, watching it cook, then inside the freezing shed, purifying. Those days, weeks, years, in such very primitive conditions.
Marie, what have you done?
Look. Look at it. Months of preparation. It was too hot, Pierre. I picked it up. I didn't realize. Oh, look at it. All my work lying there on the floor, all that time wasted. Don't mop it. Don't mop it, Pierre. It's hopeless. I can't.
All right, my darling. Just stand quietly for a moment and let me hold you in my arms.
Oh, Pierre, I'm sorry. I didn't mean... Of course I must go on. It's just the pain. My hands, my arms.
Let me see. They are scalded, Marie. Where is the ointment? Marie, we are putting a stop to this right now. I will lower the furnace so nothing will catch fire, and you are stopping your work this instant. How do you feel now, my darling?
Well, my arms are better, and my hands. Look, see, I can move my fingers through the bandages. I'd like to start up the furnaces again.
No, Marie. You are overworked and overtired. And that is why these accidents happen. You are too tired to concentrate. It is the month after month of fractionalizing for pure radium that is so exhausting.
I stupidly picked up a hot pan with my bare hands.
You simply do not know what you are doing some of the time.
Well, I am tired, that's true. I'm tired and frustrated. And always I am conscious that I am fighting time.
Marie, what difference does it make if you extract pure radium in 1900, in 1904, in 1906?
I am fighting the time that makes impurities. The longer it takes, the dust, the dirt, I have to do the same work over and over and over again.
Marie, we are doing the impossible. Now, you cannot afford to be tired. You cannot afford tears. And most of all, neither of us can afford the luxury of failure.
You're right. I won't give up. I know. I'm being childish.
You are the only one who can make radium live. Antoine cannot. I cannot. And who knows what its isolation, its complete use could mean.
I'm better now. I always am after you've given me a good talking to. What radium could mean in the future, that's not important to me now, Pierre. All I really want to do is to finish what I started. I did finish it. It was 1902. Remember, Pierre, 45 months after we told the Academy that radium existed, I managed to isolate 1 decigram, 1/10 of a gram of pure radium with the atomic weight of 226. Remember the night. You came late to the laboratory, Pierre.
Marie, what are you standing in the street for, outside the laboratory?
I was waiting for you.
Why did you not wait inside? You know how easily you catch cold.
I didn't want to go back inside without you.
All right, I'm here. Let us go in.
Don't turn on the lamps. Do you remember that day when you said to me, I should like to think that radium has a beautiful color?
What is that light over there by the table, above it? It is floating.
Give me your hand, Pierre. We'll walk over there together. On the shelf, Pierre. See?
It glows. What an extraordinary light.
1/10 of a gram of pure radium in that jar.
Unearthly. How it glows.
It's what we said all along, darling. In science, there is magic, and we have found it.
The scientific world sprang forth to help. 2 German scientists, Volkoff and Giesel, saw its physiological effects, and Pierre exposed his own arm to the radium as a test. Even Antoine carried a glass tube of it, and he suffered burns.
Oh, I love this radium, but I have got a grudge against it. My new suit.
And Pierre worked with Bouchard and Balthazar on animals, then people. What a day that was when he told the Academy.
Radium has the power to destroy cells. It can also obliterate growth, tumors, and certain forms of cancer.
You know, quite an industry has grown up manufacturing radium.
Every time I lend a tube of it to a doctor for his patient, I catch my breath. It's so hard to believe.
Why are you changing the subject?
Because you are about to tell me the more radium is manufactured, the more malignant tumors can be cured. And then you are going to say something to me which I don't want to hear.
What was my question?
Should we profit from our discovery, patent the technique, and collect what they call royalties?
With the money, we could build a fine laboratory.
No, no, Pierre. Science belongs to everyone, and we must give it back. We merely discovered the path to radium. We didn't invent it.
I knew you would say that. And so I have already told the Academy to distribute all our findings and methods of purification to whoever wants it.
I was thinking this morning, if the world had known of the powers of radium years ago, perhaps my mother would have lived longer. It was April 19th, 1906. My precious husband was crossing the street, and a wagon ran over him. He was only 47. I was 39, and I would live on alone. That is, until today. I am now 67. They tell me the end is near. Anemia due to years of radiation. I am happy. Before sunset, I shall be with my Pierre. When you were taken from me, I remember covering your coffin with flowers and sitting beside it. I put the picture of me, the one that you loved, into your grave. Remember, you told me marrying me was the first right thing you had ever done. We were made to live together. How I went on all those years alone, I don't know. I thought, everything is over. Pierre is sleeping his last sleep beneath the earth. To me, that day was the end of everything. Everything.
Respectfully, we know Marie Curie was wrong. For her and for the rest of us, it was not the end of everything. In 1914, she drove an ambulance converted into a radiation center through the war zone. Her arm, wearing the Red Cross band, helped heal thousands. But the final count of those saved by her discovery is not in yet. Or will it ever be? I shall return shortly.
Edna?
Oh.
Do you have the key?
Oh,
never mind. We forgot to lock the door.
I'll hang up the coats, Melvin.
Good girl.
Oop. Melvin.
Mm-hmm?
Take a look in the closet.
Edna.
Yes, Melvin.
There's a dog in the closet.
Hiya. Don't worry, it's me, McGruff, the crime dog.
He talks.
Of course. How else could I tell you not to leave your door unlocked?
Oh, you're McGruff, the crime dog.
Edna, you're talking to a dog.
I'll say it again. Lock your windows and doors. Use a timer to turn lights on and off.
Oh.
And tell your neighbors to keep an eye on your house.
Good idea.
By the way, you got a neighborhood watch program?
Neighborhood watch? What's that?
That's where you and your neighbors learn how to protect each other and your neighborhood.
Oh.
But find out more. Write to McGruff. Box 6600, Rockville, Maryland, and help take a bite out of crime.
Edna, lock the door.
Gotcha.
A message from the Crime Prevention Coalition and the Ad Council.
When Marie Curie was awarded her second Nobel Prize, that was the first for any scientist, as were the countless medals and honors bestowed upon her. But perhaps these words from Louis Pasteur meant the most to her. To him who devotes his life to science, nothing can give more happiness than increasing the number of discoveries. But his cup of joy is full when the results of his studies immediately find practical applications. Our cast included Carol Tytel, Mandel Kramer, and Lloyd Batista. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now a preview of our next tale.
All you've ever done is think about yourself and your awful chairs and all your other possessions. Huh? Yes, like Terry, like me, like Father. Huh? Father was one of your possessions, too. Huh? You owned him. He belonged to you till he couldn't stand it anymore, and he died. Well, I didn't kill him. Nobody can say I killed my own father. No, no, nobody, nobody can say that.
Troy,
no.
Cut it out.
Because you did that. You cruel, you stupid woman. You sitting there so smug, so pleased with yourself.
Troy, stop it. Stop
but
it.
But she's
stop
dead.
It. Are you all right, Mother?
Yeah, she's all right, isn't she?
I don't know.
Why is she just sitting there?
Troy, I don't know. Mother?
Oh, do something, Carrie. Do something.
Shut up, you little idiot. Don't you see I don't know what to do?
This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
It's 11:23 on WBBM. There's a national company that offers a unique gold, silver, and platinum program. Bullion Reserve of North America can offer you the lowest prices possible for gold, silver, and platinum. They can not only provide you with totally private transactions, but also the absolute lowest prices in the nation. Bullion Reserve of North America, backed by one of the world's largest and most respected refiners, guarantees in writing to repurchase 100% of your bullion holding, something virtually no other dealer will provide. And the Bullion Reserve will store your bullion at no additional charge in one of the nation's safest and most secure vaults. Or you can take immediate delivery. Not tomorrow, not in 30, 60, or 90 days. That's immediate delivery of amounts as small as 1 gram of gold and 1 ounce of silver to as much as a ton or more. If you're serious about purchasing gold, silver, or even Krugerrands or Maple Leafs at today's prices, call Bullion Reserve for information on their unique member account program. Toll free, the number is 1-800-421-3391. The Bullion Reserve of North America. 1-800-421-3391. It's 4:24 now on WBBM. Our temperature in Chicago is 61 degrees at O'Hare and Midway, 62 along the lakefront. The wind is from the southwest at 18 miles an hour. Weather Command saying some showers on the way. Variably cloudy tonight, mild with rain beginning around sunrise. Tomorrow the rain will end, mostly cloudy skies, not much change in temperature, the high up near 67. In the news tonight, New York's Lieutenant Governor Mario Cuomo upset New York City Mayor Edward Koch in the bitterly fought battle for the Democratic nomination for governor. Drugstore millionaire Louis Lehrman won the Republican nomination for governor. Democratic Senator Daniel Moynihan turned back a token challenge to easily win renomination to a second term. He will face conservative Assemblywoman Florence Sullivan of Brooklyn in November. A jury in Hayward, California today convicted Juan Corona again for the slayings of 25 migrant farm workers. Corona had won a new trial on grounds that he was inadequately defended in the first trial, but the second verdict was the same, guilty. President Reagan, kicking off the United Way fundraising campaign, urged Americans tonight to step up charitable contributions and to take new deductions on short income tax forms. President Reagan spoke in pre-taped remarks broadcast nationwide in paid advertisements by the United Way. Singer Robert Goulet and former actress Vera Novak announced today they'll be married October 17th at a Las Vegas wedding chapel. He is 48, she is 35. It will be the third marriage for Goulet and the first for Novak. Officials in Gurnee say tape cassettes found in the demolished Lake County home of a motorcycle club leader indicate that what appeared to be a triple murder may instead have been a suicide and two murders. The bodies of the victims, 35-year-old George Sonny Ford, the club leader, and his 29-year-old girlfriend, were found in Ford's home in Gurnee, along with that of 29-year-old Teresa Lanassa of Waukegan, according to Lake County coroner Robert Babcock. Babcock says the trio was killed in an explosion that ripped through the home Tuesday morning. The bodies were identified through dental records and x-ray comparisons. At first, it was believed the victims had been shot because weapons were found nearby, but autopsies later ruled out that suspicion, leading to the theory of a suicide pact where two tape cassettes found in the gutted house and a letter sent to the Waukegan News Sun newspaper. Babcock says the tapes and letters indicated the three agreed to commit suicide. All three victims were found handcuffed and chained to a bed in the bedroom. Ford was president of the Night Sinners Club, which investigators say has been linked to illegal narcotics traffic in north suburban Chicago. Investigators say Ford may have known he was targeted to be slain by drug dealers and decided to take his own life in the explosions and fire, along with the lives of the two women. After the explosions, police found a plastic hose running from a furnace to the bedroom where the bodies were found, and firefighters reported smelling gasoline. It's 11:27.
This is Spectrum. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Pat O'Brien. These are sad days for Israel and for all Jews and Christians shocked by the massacre of the Palestinians in Lebanon. There is no adequate defense for Israeli soldiers turning their eyes away from the slaughtering of these civilian men and women and children. The issue is not direct responsibility. We know the killers were from the Christian militia forces, and we know the hatred they took with them into the Palestinian camps to carry out their bloody work. But that hatred was no secret. So what defense can there be for the Israelis who let the phalangists in? There is none. The issue is indirect responsibility for a preventable catastrophe, and there is no way out of that for the government of Menachem Begin. Israel, of course, is not the first nation to end up with blood on its hands for allowing a massacre to happen. But Israel has shaped itself around higher moral principles than most. That has been at the core of its special quality and at the core of its unique strengths. By stripping away all considerations except disposing of his nation's enemies, Begin has jeopardized a level of world support that won't be easily regained. He has to answer for that to the Israeli people. There are some Jews who say that making too much of this tragedy gives fuel to Israel's enemies. They point to the outbursts of anti-Semitism erupting throughout Europe and in the United States as reason enough for presenting a united front to the world and staying silent. But to believe that plays into the hands of a misguided prime minister who wants to wrap himself in moral superiority, something he has no right to do. There is no question about it. Israel itself is at risk until and unless it can look clearly at its own woefully inept leadership. If the shock of the massacre of the Palestinians brings this about, at least some good will have come out of the deaths of these hundreds of men, women, and children, wrote one Israeli newspaper editor in what must have been a terrible moment of anguish, and I quote, "The stain of Sabra and Shatila has stuck to us, and we shall not be able to erase it." Erase it, no. Move on from it, hopefully, yes. Israel must now take itself to task and clean out its own house. At this critical turning point in its history, Israel bears responsibility both for what happened in Lebanon and for finally coming to terms with the realities of the Middle East. The Palestinians are not dogs to be butchered. They are people who have a right to a homeland. That is a moral fact and a political one. It's high time Israel faced it. I'm Pat O'Brien for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
It's Thursday, September 23rd, 1982. I'm Regine Schlesinger. Here are the top stories on WBBM News Radio Chicago at 11:30.